The scripture reading for today is from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stopping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. It is easy to lose Jesus. For somebody that's supposed to live in our hearts, it's pretty easy to kind of lose track of him, and it's difficult to kind of get our hands around him sometimes. And so on a story to where we find that somebody came to look for Jesus where they expected him to be, that should be pretty familiar to us, that Jesus does not always stay right where we put him. And in fact, I think we can kind of forgive ourselves in this. We're not really so bad or so unique because people lost Jesus all the time. In fact, Jesus' parents lost track of him for a season as well. At one point when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover festival, the very same festival that we have been remembering over this last Holy Week of Jesus coming in on Palm Sunday, eating that Passover, that Seder meal with his disciples at the Last Supper, and then the crucifixion, his death on Friday, moving into the Sabbath. And so as his family, when he was 12 years old, celebrated the festival, waited until after the Sabbath, and they started to head back home, after an entire day's journey, they realized that, y'all, they lost the Son of God. Not exactly the thing that they were supposed to do, but they went back to Jerusalem and they tore the city apart looking for him until finally they found him on the third day. And Jesus, being Jesus, seemed to be surprised that they would lose track of him at all, or at least not know where to find him, because wouldn't you know that I would be in my Father's house? Wouldn't you know that I'd be about my Father's business? And so the same as our story this morning, as we come and we don't always find Jesus exactly where we expect him to be, or when we expect Jesus to show up, Jesus seems to come in a way that we don't expect at all. We're in pretty good company with the disciples, with the women, with the ones that came to the tomb, with Jesus' parents, with Mary and Joseph and his family, of coming to a moment of realizing that we come to a door in which we've placed Jesus, and yet we arrive and somebody's left it open and Jesus has gotten out. When we read about the story that we've heard this morning, we read about a resurrection that appears in all four of the Gospels. One of the few stories that appears in all four of the Gospels. Now, it's a little bit different in each of them. Whether there's earthquakes and angels and burial cloths, or whether there's guards, or whether there's gardeners that kind of come into the middle of the story, you can imagine how some of the details might have gotten mixed up and the perspectives kind of got twisted, as really, when you move through the story, the adjectives that the disciples and the women use time and time again are adjectives like afraid, terrifying, scared. And so we come to a story that has appeared in several different ways, but the common thing that kicks off every single one of the stories in the gospel is that as they came into the garden, one thing was different. Across all four gospels, as the women came into the place, they noticed that the stone had been rolled away. And so from that moment on, kind of the plot thickens. From that moment on, in all four of the Gospels, we realize that this is all of a sudden something very different than what we anticipated. All of a sudden, they have walked into a story, they have walked into a moment that they expected was going to go a different way. As they were coming to prepare a body for its final burial, they come to find no body at all. And so the stone being rolled away was the sign that everything is going to be different from this moment on. In our reading this morning, we read from the Gospel of Luke. And the Gospel of Luke has a little bit of a different perspective, but it has so much kind of surprise, so much anxiety, and the story kind of builds in such a unique way. As the women came in to the garden that morning, they came bearing the spices that they had prepared for Jesus' body. And as they walked in and saw that the stone had been rolled away, like we said, that anxiety, that emotion, we can almost feel it ourselves begin to kind of build into their stomachs. And rather than kind of staying outside of the tomb as they do in maybe some of the other gospel stories, it says, this time they walk in and they look and they see that it's empty. And in this confusion of wondering where in the world could they have taken him, what's happening, what's going on, what happens from this point on, it begins to get even more confusing. It begins to get even more terrifying as all of a sudden these angels, these beings, these ones in dazzling clothes, so bright and so sacred or so holy in that moment that something compelled these women to get down with their faces to the ground, being so terrified and overwhelmed. And then the angels asked them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is risen. Don't you remember that this is exactly what he's been telling us from the very beginning, from the time that you started with him in Galilee? That he would be handed over to sinners to be crucified. And 3 days later, raised again. And as the women seemed to kind of collect themselves in that moment, they kind of dashed from the cave. And it says that they go and they tell the other disciples, they tell the 11 and the others that have been with them this entire time of everything that's happened. And I believe that their story started with saying that the stone was rolled away. And thus has begun our story of resurrection for thousands of years. And it doesn't make very much sense. And even in that morning, thousands of years ago, as the women went and told the men exactly what happened, no matter how credible that they have been, that these were the women who were brave enough to stand at the foot of the cross when all the other disciples were either denying Jesus or hiding, the others at this moment decide that they cannot believe the women, because it seems to them just to be an idle tale. Which in some ways shouldn't surprise us very much at all. Because everybody feels like they know exactly where Jesus is. We feel like we know exactly where we've left God. And he should be right where we put him. But in this, Peter and the other disciples came to the cave. And they did the very same thing that the women did in that moment as they went in for themselves to see that it was empty. And they left that moment amazed, but I believe also wondering what happens next. See, our question this morning kind of starts with this stone that's been rolled away. And why was the stone rolled away? Was it rolled away for Jesus to come out? Or was it rolled away so that we could go in? Because I don't think Jesus needed the stone to be moved in order for him to leave, for him to go about and continue what it was that he had started. But the same as the disciples needed something, the same way that we need something as well. There had to be something upon entering that garden that marked and remembered and showed that something was different from that moment on. And we would have done the exact same thing, because we need to go into that tomb. We need to go into that rock. We need to go behind that stone and see for ourselves the very same way that we have to see for ourselves today. And God marks that with something that we cannot deny, and something that will get our attention beyond anything else in this world, as we go in and we see that God could not be held down from where we thought that we left him. You see, because our faith is not accomplished in the empty tomb. The empty tomb, in fact, is not the final word of Jesus' ministries, but it is the sign, is the symbol, it is the mark, it is the sign of what God has showed us, that there is still so much more to come. It is the hope of the very world that even when we do not know what God is up to, even when we do not know where God is, that God is calling us and showing us that he is still alive in this world, because we do know where Jesus is. We know where Jesus goes when he goes missing. He already told us, even from when he was 12 years old, "Why are you looking so hard for me? Don't you know where I would be? I have moved into my Father's house, and I'm still about my Father's business." And the hope and the faith of the disciples to come, it was to be continuing to be a call, continuing to have appearances, continuing to have words and lessons where Jesus comes and confirms everything that he has said to them. And it becomes an invitation to come out into the world and find me, and see that the work of God is not finished, but is only just getting started in this world. And it all starts when that stone was rolled away. And I believe that we're really familiar with stones in our lives. In fact, we've gotten pretty good at using them. We've gotten pretty good at taking those things that we need to keep in one place, we need to keep safe and hidden, that we don't need all the times, and we don't need anybody to be able to know or to see or to touch. And we put them behind all these walls in our lives, and we seal them off, knowing that they will remain exactly where we left them. But the truth is, those parts of our lives that we thought were buried, dead, gone, safe, put away, that God has a tremendous way of bringing those back to life. Those hopes and those dreams that we gave up on, those moments that we thought had passed away, that we had messed up so much that we cannot nearly be forgiven enough to come back and start over again, God has a way of bringing those back to life. As we go forth in this week, I think that you'll begin to see that God shows us signs and moments to which we cannot deny that he is at work. That some of these obstacles, some of these stones that we thought were not able to be moved, that we wondered how in the world would we ever be able to get past them, that God still rolls stones away today. And they come in the moments where we do not know if God hears us. We do not know if God is there. We do not know if God listens to us at all. And yet God continues to show us these signs that this is not the end. This is the beginning of hope and life in the world. And why do we keep looking for him among the dead and dying spaces of our lives, when we know that he has risen and gone out and is asking us to come find him and follow him and continue that work that he has started? Something marks a change in the Gospels and in our lives. And it starts when we notice that all of a sudden something is different. And we can't deny that God is doing something, even if we don't know everything that He's up to. And when we feel like we can't hold on to Jesus, we keep feeling like He's slipping through our fingers, the good news is we know exactly where He went. He has gone outside of these doors, outside of our homes. He has gone outside of our jobs. He has gone into the very spaces where we live and breathe and work and play. And He's asking us to come into that world with Him and be changed. To be willing to walk along a life and to know that we do not have all the answers, but that we do have a testimony that He is risen, He is alive, and the hope of the world is alive in it. That we can rise up and walk into this world and to help to be a part of the very salvation of this world by showing His hope, His peace, His patience, His kindness, His goodness, His gentleness, His self-control. Those very fruits of the Spirit that the world needs so desperately allow us to go and to find Jesus and to bring that story and that life out into the world for those that need it the most. And knowing that when we walk in and we see that stones in our lives have been rolled away, that it is not the final word that God has on the matter, but it is only the beginning of the plan that God wishes to show us.